This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's welcome aboard right now a North Carolina legend, and that is Eric Montross, UNC Radio Network analyst now. Hey, Eric, Taz of the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning. We certainly appreciate it.
Eric, what's up?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Do well, Eric. How's everything? You excited for the start of the tournament? Come Thursday.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's this is the best time of year. So if you're unless you don't have a pulse, this is an exciting time of year. So this is great. Hey, we're looking forward to it and heading to Columbus this evening.
So let me ask you, man, how fun the season has been? You watching this team grow? Grow to the number one seed.
Yeah, I think it's really changed a lot. If you had asked me, even 6 weeks ago, is Carolina number one seed, I would have said respectfully no. They have really improved themselves over the last 6 weeks of the season. Of course, they were undefeated in the ACC on the road, which is a pretty nice feather in the cap. But they're tending to win more games without just relying upon their shooting, which is good. So that's more of the Carolina style, to win with defense, creating their offense. And despite the loss to Duke in the ACC tournament, that was a situation where, you're 0-13 from deep in the second half with three of your key guys, shooters. And that was a little bit of too big of a mountain to climb. But the team's definitely improved.
They have, and you mentioned 6 weeks ago you never envisioned it. Respectfully, though, Eric, when you look at this team as a number one seed and how well they're playing right now, what's the biggest reservation you have about this Tar Heel team going into the tourney?
Well, I think we still have to be proved against good size. So I think you don't have to look too deep, even within our bracket, to find teams that have got good interior size. And I think that's the place where, and it's a known liability. It's something that Carolina has long time had substantial size in the post and size that played a lot. Right now, Garrison Brooks has been terrific for us this year. He's a guy that has come in and probably overachieved for what he has, what he brought to the table, because he's not a five man, and Luke May is not a four or five. He's really more of a three. He's a guy that can work into a four body, but he's not a guy that's going to just bang in the post. So I think the thing to answer your question most clearly is just to say, if you come up against a 7-footer, think about Texas A&M. Last year, Carolina lost to Texas A&M, and there were two guys in the post that just beat us to a pulp. So I think that's the piece that we're going to have to see. Can we play against those type of teams this time around?
Hey, Eric, if you don't mind, speak on the great job that Coach Roy Williams has done this year. USA Today Sports National Coach of the Year. I mean, spectacular. We also just, Moose and I were just talking about how great of a sharp dresser he is in that pinstripe suit, yes. I got to say. but speak on that, man, if you don't mind, how awesome of a job Coach Williams has done here.
Well, I think that, it's going to sound very partisan coming from me, but I think that if I try to take off the Tar Heel hat, I think you just look at the consistency. When you think about, and again, I know that's a yearly award, but I think that what it speaks to is the consistent excellence that Coach Williams has been able to find. It doesn't mean that he's winning a championship every year, but that's not what the metrics for this Coach of the Year honor are. The metrics are: take a team, develop them beyond what you think their normal capacity would be, and do it on a regular basis. And he's done that. And I think that, for a lot of people, when you think about Coach Williams, whether he's your favorite coach or your least favorite coach, you still respect the fact that he takes a group of young men at the beginning of the year, he pushes them on out-of-conference schedule, goes, we play Gonzaga early, we play Kentucky, you play Michigan. Those are things that a lot of other teams don't want to do early, and he does that, and he pushes his team to develop. And then about in January, all of us Tar Heels, we start thinking, well, boy, how good are we? I don't know if we're really that good. We're taking some on the chin. And then mid-February, we all start saying, well, here he goes again. You know, he's rounding this crew into shape. And I just think that's the metrics of Coach Williams, and I think it's a hallmark of really good coaches.
You know, Eric, I want to get your thoughts on some of these other teams you saw throughout the year coming out of the ACC. A lot of people, and they certainly had a very good run in the ACC tournament, are talking up Florida State. How good do you think this Leonard Hamilton team is with the Seminoles?
You know, another great example in Leonard Hamilton of a coach who is very consistent. He's consistently good. I mean, you can close your eyes and know what kind of team you're going to see coming out of Florida State. They are good defensively, maybe not as good defensively as they have been in some of the years past, but they're still pretty darn stingy on defense. I think that they have that kind of uncanny knack to some nights be terrific, and some nights they're just above average. But I think they've got that ability to push the pedal pretty far, and on those nights, they're a team that could upset a lot of people. So I think that, you know, they're athletic, they're drivers to the basket. They can rebound pretty well. They've got some pretty substantial side. Chris Kumaji, of course, is 7'4". And he's a senior this year. You know, going into the ACC tournament, I had not been as impressed with Kumaji, but now he is a guy they are actually looking to use. And at 7'4", there are just not that many players in college basketball that it can affect him. And he's not a 20-10 guy, but if he can give them 10-10, he's a real difference maker.
You're listening to Taz and Amoose, and our special guest right now is Eric Montrose, UNC Radio Network analyst and legendary Tar Heels center. So, Eric, let me ask you, because you've seen both, right, with Duke, your impressions, the difference between Duke with or without Zion Williamson?
Well, number one, Williamson is a terrific player, absolutely terrific player. All of his accolades are well-deserved. He is really something to watch.
Yes.
And I think that when you look at the thing that is almost most impressive to me, I suppose there's a long list, right? Like a lot of people, you know, you see him on TV and it's one thing, you see him in person and you think, holy cow, this guy is just, he's really something. And I think the thing that I've been most impressed with are his quickness off the floor. So his ability to pick up an offensive rebound. Maybe some of the old schoolers will remember a guy that played in the Tar Heel jersey named Antoine Jameson,
who was
just really quick off the ground. He could jump twice or three times before his opponent could get off the ground and back down and try to get back up. So, you know, Williamson is terrific at an offensive rebound. It's honestly how one of the most key plays that beat the Tar Heels in the ACC tournament was his ability to get off the ground so quickly, but also how explosive he is laterally. You just watch and see what he does to clean up situations. And he plays hard on both ends of the court, which that is really impressive to see out of a kid with that kind of talent.
You know, Eric, playing off that conversation though with Williamson, a lot of people have questioned how his game would translate to the next level because of just how big he is right now. You know, as a college freshman, what do you see him as an NBA player? You know, how do you think he translates physically to the next level?
Well, I think, you know, the obvious answer is, well, we just have to kind of wait and see. However, I would say this. To me, he's, and I don't know if people will think this is a gross overstatement. Here's how I express his athleticism as kind of the athleticism of a Westbrook in the body of a Charles Barkley. And so if you take that, then I think he translates pretty darn well. You know, the game is becoming more about mobility and strength and explosiveness. And the fact is, I mean, nobody wants to guard LeBron because he's explosive. He drives the ball. The thing about Zion is that when he gets the basketball, there's very few times is there ever a hesitation before he goes into the move. And he is so explosive that he is incredibly hard to guard. If you're on him tight and the guy catches the ball, typically you have a half count before a player will make an offensive move. Williamson, in a lot of cases, just goes right into the move. And because he's so quick, he gets ahead of his defender. I think that translates at any level. And I think with his explosiveness and strength, I don't know. I mean, guys, would you not draft him and leave somebody else?
In a second. I think he's
the guy. Like, he's the best in the
Eric,
in the draft.
The Knicks are tanking for him.
That's true right there, man. So about Zion and Duke. So what, I mean, you've seen both, right? You've seen this Duke team with and without Zion. So can you give us your expertise breakdown on Duke with and without Zion?
Yeah, so I totally left that piece out of the equation. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah.
I didn't answer that part of the question, but you know, they're very different. I mean, I'm not going to say that they're not extremely talented without Zion. They are. I mean, they've got guys. They're just oozing with talent. When you look at Barrett and Reddish and Trey Jones, a lot of people for a long time thought that Trey Jones was the straw that stirred the drink for the Blue Devils, and I'm not so sure that that's an incorrect statement. You know, he's the guy that as a defender and as a ball handler, he's one of the very few players on that team, if any. I mean, no one averages more minutes per game. And if you know, Coach Krzyzewski's pretty transparent with a lot of things, and one of the ways you can see it is who plays the most. He knows how valuable Trey Jones is to that team, and Trey's out there all the time. So he has to be there. He also, when you look at Barrett, I think, plays extremely hard on offense, doesn't always play hard on defense, but he's a terrific player, obviously. Reddish is a guy that I think when Zion came back, he sometimes has gotten lost a little bit in the offense, but certainly highly capable. So this team changes a lot when Zion's in. As you would suspect, he's kind of the sweeper on defense for everybody. He can make up for a lot of mistakes because of his quickness to get back and challenge the ball. I think that with him, they're absolutely a team that should be picked to be competing in the Final Four.
We're talking to Eric Montrose, UNC Radio Network analyst, obviously a legendary North Carolina Tar Heel. Eric, one more question for me on an ACC team, because, you know, he's a wonderful coach, as we all know, and what Tony Bennett has done at Virginia. They come off the loss a year ago in the tournament as a one seed, becoming the first team ever to lose to a 16. What about this Virginia team? Boeheim up at Syracuse said by far he thought this was the best offensive team that Bennett's ever had at Virginia. What about this Virginia team going into this tournament this year as a number one seed?
Well, I think he's right. I think that Virginia does have the best offensive capacity of any team that Tony's had. And I got to tell you, of all the coaches that I've seen, if you love the game of basketball, just the pure mechanics of the game, you got to be a Tony Bennett fan, because he is that kind of coach. He takes... You know, he coaches his players, he turns them into a sponge, and then they spit out this really polished product. Now, I know that they obviously were the one number one that lost to a 16 in the history of the NCAA tournament last year, but he's a great coach. This year's team, you know, DeAndre Hunter is a real game changer for the Cavaliers, because he is that really athletic 6'8" guy, swing player, wing player that is able to score, drive to the basket, pull up at 15 feet, have enough on his drive to push a defender back and then elevate and score. Kyle Guy, although he didn't have a great final game in against Florida State, he is an unbelievably good shooter. He was coming in shooting something crazy into the ACC tournament, like 49% from deep. Also, when you look at Ty Jerome, Jerome is a guy that a lot of NBA players or NBA scouts are looking at as a potential guy to go to the next level. He's kind of an unorthodox package for that, but he's a very smart player. So you've got guys that have some veteranship under Tony's program, coupled with the fact that they can score. So I think, again, they were they didn't look great in their in the loss in the ACC tournament. That was a little bit of a a moment where you had to bang your head a little bit. But I think that this Virginia team is a lot better than they were last year.
You know, when you look at it, the road to Minneapolis, Eric, and you know you were obviously a part of it down in North Carolina. What the difference for those that were not big time college basketball players and never had an opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament? We know there's a difference between the regular season and the ACC tournament or your respective conference tournament. How big of a difference is there from regular season college basketball to the NCAA tournament?
Well, I think that the best way to, and it's hardly describable, you're right. It's very difficult to put into words, and I think that's why you hear a lot of players and coaches try to find the adjectives to describe the enthusiasm that surrounds the NCAA tournament and just that heartbeat of the tournament, and it's hard to find because everything becomes so polished. Everything is on such a big stage. The media interactions are, you're always up on the dais in the big media room. You're the bright lights. There's the fanfare and the festivity. So everything, and this is also everything that you've been working towards, is to make the tournament and have a chance to dance. So this, to me, I think it's just the chance to compete at the highest level of your particular sport and know that you could be the one to finish at the top of the mountain. And if you do, then you're forever etched into history. And that's why there's this fanfare and festivity around this game and around these moments for these players. And they absolutely love it. There is nothing like it. And it is something that is really wonderful within college athletics.
And final one, Eric, Taz and I were talking about it before we welcomed you aboard the show. And we got a shot at it this year because, you know, that Carolina squad's real good. We know how good Duke is. If we should ever get Duke in Carolina for a national championship in Minneapolis, I mean, that would be – we talk about how great that rivalry is now. I mean, that would be an off-the-charts Monday night, Eric.
Yeah, I think when you say that, it's a lot of Tar Heel and Duke fans do what I just did, which is a deep sigh, like, oh my gosh, I'm not sure we want to go there, because I think that's a game changer, is all of a sudden you put it on that kind of stage. But I will tell you this, to play a team for the fourth, and the reason why we all sigh is because to play a team for the fourth time and to have something like that, and hopefully it happens, right? Because hopefully both teams are good enough to get there. But to think about playing that rubber match on the fourth game, oh my goodness. I mean, this is, you take two Hall of Fame coaches, you take the caliber of players, and you think who's going to find the chink in the armor. But, it could happen, as you said. There have been other years where people thought it could happen, and it hasn't. But
Right. But I mean, Duke. You look at their biggest issue. You got Michigan State. You know, you got Kentucky. Now PJ Washington's walking around in a walking boot. They're saying it's precautionary for the Wildcats. And certainly, you know, you look at the region Carolina is, but as well as the Tar Heels played the last 6 weeks, you know, Roy's got them really cooking. I mean, you got to feel good about this Carolina team going into the tournament.
No, I do. I do. I think that there's, again, I don't think there's any, and this is not a knock against Duke, but I don't think there's any substitute for veteranship. And when you have great coaches who have players that have learned the game, I think there's a likelihood that their performance at the highest level can occur. Yeah. And I think that's something that you take less of the unknowns, less of the questions out of the equation. But no, Carolina's good. I think that they have expectations. Cam Johnson, who has really been fun to watch, first team All ACC, of course, the transfer from Pitt 2 years ago, has developed into just a really terrific, dynamic player for Carolina, and around the country, people are starting to really notice him. And he said, they were asking about his accomplishments, and I won't do it complete justice. It was a quote on Twitter, and I'm not much of a Twitterer, but he said something about, how your accomplishments thus far and going to the tournament. He said, the only thing I've done in the tournament so far is get stomped by Texas A&M. He said, we have higher aspirations than just that. The competitive fire in us as seniors going out, have a real desire to end on a high note. And I think that's not just indicative of Carolina, but to your prior question about what does it mean to compete in the NCAA, you get a chance to compete against the best of the best. And every school in the country vies for these positions. And once you're here, there's so much enjoyment and excitement around it. And he just happened to capture the moment for Carolina.
Legendary Tar Heel, Eric Montrose, now part of the North Carolina radio team as an analyst, does a great job. Hey, Eric, thank you for spending a couple minutes with us this morning. We certainly appreciate it. Safe flight, safe travel out to Columbus, and enjoy the tournament, all right?
Thanks, Eric.
Yeah, hopefully we're talking again prior to that game that you talked about having to play for a fourth time.
I know you don't want to say it, Eric.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
Safe trip.
Don't say it, man.
Take care, buddy.
You got it. That's Eric Montrose. Give me a great feel.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.